House of Comments. If you were panicking on your Friday lunchtime where we were, well, we thought we'd hold out just a little bit, but see, get some more results in. I'm Charlotte Henry and she's Emma Bunnell. Couple of things. First of all, hello, Emma.
Hello.
Second of all, this might be a slightly shorter episode than we normally do because we've not got all the results, but we're going to come back on Tuesday for our lovely Patreon subscribers to do a fuller roundup. We'll obviously know the London election result by then, which we'll do a little preview of because there's a couple of interesting noises coming out of there. So we'll do all that. But first, let's crack on, shall we? First of all, we were just saying, did you stay up all night?
No, I did not. I was up till about one-ish.
Yeah, I was as well. But that's that's often my habit. So where we are as we record this at 4 p.m. on Friday afternoon is Labour at plus 110 councillors on 681. The Conservatives down 262 councillors on 265. The Lib Dems on 40 councillors on 217. Independents have got there are 80 more independent councillors, 158. The Greens are plus 28 on 64. There we go. So that's basically the picture as we look at it. There's a couple of significant things. First of all, we should also talk about the by-election, which you'll want to start with, which is a huge win for Labour in Blackpool South.
Yeah, it's the third biggest swing to Labour from the Conservatives since the war. And the second one was Peter Bone's constituency.
Yes. So. It was a very significant swing of the kind of number that would get Sir Keir Starmer into 10 Downing Street.
Oh, with a big majority, yeah.
You know, it's if that is replicated, that is a very, very meaningful swing. So not surprising, but perfectly, you can understand why Labour are cheering that to the rafters because it's a very big deal. And it's also, is different from the Peter Bone one because that kind of seat is not a really, never really been a marginal in the same way. Blackpool South is sort of seen as a belt, one of those kind of bellwethery kind of constituencies.
It was Labour from 97 until 2019, I believe. Then Scott Benton won it in 2019 and spectacularly threw it all away in a lobbying scandal.
Yeah, which is why there was the by-election.
Which is why there was the by-election, because he stood down before he was pushed.
Yeah, because there was going to be a recall.
There was a recall petition and he just didn't want to face it. I think he knew which way the weather was going.
And also the Conservative infrastructure wanted it all done on one day.
Labour did very, very, very well in this traditional bellwether seat. If it is a bellwether, then it is telling us that Labour are on course for a decent majority.
Yeah, that, I think that's right. It's hard to take away from that. But I am going to give you a caveat. And I try and always be wary of the pre-polling spin, because the Conservatives were always going to say, oh, it's going to be really hard. We're going to do really badly, blah, 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 blah. Labour was going to say, don't get too excited. You know, still a lot of work to do, blah, 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 blah. We're not taking anything for granted. I think there is a case that Labour hasn't quite done as well as they maybe would have hoped in the count on the council side. So we're at plus 37 council. We're on 37 councils of which are now Labour controlled. So that's plus seven. Always, you know. Very nice.
In terms of numbers, they've done pretty much as well as they were hoping. There are a couple of councils that they may have highlighted beforehand. Harlow springs to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Harlow is to Labour what Florida is to the Democrats in the US. Labour are constantly chasing Harlow and it constantly looks almost gettable when they never actually get.
Harlow was very much one of those I was thinking about, Harlow and Essex. Obviously, Rob Halford has been a very sturdy, hard-working local Conservative MP there. And has really gained local popularity.
And he's stepping down, yes. Which always gives more of an opening to an opposition if they're not running against the popular incumbents.
Certainly, but we'll see. That was one I was looking at that maybe Labour went, oh, damn it, we've not quite got there.
And then again, there's been some movement in places like Oldham, where obviously the war in Gaza
well, I was gonna
has been a factor.
there's been a few noises coming out, haven't there, where there's some frustration in Labour that some, you know, they've lost some portion of the vote, sort of in their perceived to be a reaction to their stance on what's happening in the Middle East.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is true. I think it's undeniably true. How much that will transpose itself in a general election, I don't know.
Right.
I don't think Labour's going to lose the Oldham seat, for example, or either of the Oldham seats, because so, there's Oldham East and Southworth and then the other Jim seat.
So you can see the point where it hasn't been the sort of grand sweeping Tony Blair-style victory. Clean out.
I think that's not fair, because it absolutely has been that. It hasn't been that in a couple of the places.
I think in terms of numbers, Blair
had things like that. This is what we forget from this distance of history, is that there were bumps in Blair's road too. It's not always smooth sailing all the way.
Of course, but...
And I think that in pure numbers terms, Labour's done exactly as well as it was hoping to do.
Possibly. I think it's not quite the grand... Look, I'm not going to say here with you, say to you with a straight face, oh, these election results are not good enough. The Conservatives are going to hold on to Downing Street. Nah, not happening. But I think it's... Basically, for me, it's proven everything I already thought, which is the Conservatives are very unpopular and are heading out of government. Keir Starmer isn't that popular, but he's not the Conservatives, and they're just about popular enough and sensible enough that they're going to get over the line.
I mean, you mean it's confirmed everything you always thought?
Correct,
no one
yeah.
ever responds to election results that way. Yeah,
exactly. It's so gratifying to see the numbers that prove I'm right.
I mean, I don't think the numbers do prove you're right. That's what I'm trying to say. I think the numbers prove to you that there's a story that journalists can cling on to, because otherwise life is just too boring.
Oh, no, I don't think it's boring, because I think nothing has changed in the sense that Keir Starmer's going to be the Prime Minister and probably pretty comfortably. But I think it's not a grand sweeping populist tide of support for his party.
No, we're not in that moment. We never were going to be in that moment. That's not the way people think of politics now. When you think of Blair and the way that politics was discussed then, it's not just that we didn't have really the internet, let's face it, never mind social media. We didn't have 24-hour news.
Yep.
All of the ways that we do politics make politics a lot bittier and stickier.
And also, it's been a bit of a... It's hardly been a time to reinforce your belief in politics and politicians. I understand all of that. I just think it's not been a total knockout blow. I would also point to, because I know you were looking out for this quite cleanly, we both were, the Tees Valley mayoralty, Ben Houchin, has held on. That is a very big win. It's a big win, if nothing else, because it probably keeps Rishi Sunak in power. It'd been one of the, if Houchin had lost, I think it would have been one of the things that was getting letters to Sir Graham Brady.
My brilliant friend Jade Azeem tweeted something earlier, which I thought was absolutely spot on. So I'm just going to find it. Just bear with me.
But I think we are.
Downing Street taking Houchin's victory, a suggestion they are doing better than doubters think, has the same destructive energy as Labour celebrating its 2017 election result.
Very good.
And I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah, and I think also, we said it in our preview, that he sort of is one of those political figures, the same as Andy Street, where we don't know the result in the West Midlands yet, where they are figures sort of separate from the party. People don't vote for them because they're wearing a blue rosette.
There was a 17% swing against Ben Houchin.
Sure.
So if that swing were applied to any of the constituencies, even without Ben Houchin's personal vote, which he does have, much as it pains me to say it,
sure.
Every single one of the constituencies in that area that are currently Conservative would go Labour.
Indeed. And obviously he could survive a 17% swing because he had such
a high vote in 2021. Yeah,
he had such a stonking vote in 2021. So there's all of that. But it just was the slight thing that he managed to hold on, was one of those things that made me think it's not the total apocalypse. It's just a rather large disaster.
If your party had a 19% swing against it, how apocalyptic would you be feeling?
pretty apocalyptic, and it's pretty clear from the Conservatives doing the media rounds that they are starting to dust off their CVs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when was Mark Harper appointed absolute spokesperson on everything? He's the only person I've seen on the bloody
yeah,
telly.
well, he's become sort of the Grant Shapps, hasn't he? Minister
something
for
about being transport. They don't care about transport, so they just go on the telly a lot.
Minister for crap media rounds.
Yeah.
We should. The other thing I would say is the Lib Dems. And I'm wondering if Lib Dem HQ is not slightly disappointed.
I don't know if this is true or spin, but the word that I heard from a Lib Dem, admittedly, was that the places that they're looking to make their big gains aren't counting until much later.
So it is certainly true, and I know this, that they are very, very targeted at the moment.
Yeah.
So they are, as we record this, as I said, plus 40 councillors on 217. They have six councils, but they haven't gained any control of any councils yet. At the time we are recording, as I say, this is Friday afternoon. By the time we do our special for the Patreon subscribers, the dynamic may have changed one way or the other. But let's just bear that in mind.
On mayors, just going back to mayors for a moment.
Please.
It is worth noting that two new mayoralties, the North Yorkshire mayor in Rishi Sunak's back guard, and the East Midlands mayor, both have now been declared for Labour.
Yes, York and North Yorkshire, David Scaife has picked that up. That is obviously the area in which the Harrogate constituency, I don't mean Richmond, isn't it?
It's Richmond, which is, I mean, it has got Harrogate in it, or Harrogaty, as bizarrely my colleagues used to call it.
No.
To be fair, we were working for the Yorkshire Post at the time, but it was just a way of our London office keeping ourselves amused.
Do we care about police and crime commissioners? Actually, I've never got your view on police and crime commissioners. Do we want them? Do we like them?
I think they're kind of a pointless role. But then they were slightly better than what came before, which were those very badly run oversight boards. But they've never really caught on in the way that the elected mayors have. I think it's better when those powers are in the hands of a mayor that has a real kind of voice and mandate.
I'm always nervous about ending up in some kind of Americanized, politicized system of law and order.
Well, this is it. Absolutely. Somebody has to oversee the policeman, who watches the watchman and all that. But and that will always, at some level, fall to a politician, whether that's the Home Secretary or an elected mayor or a police and crime commissioner.
Yes.
But when they're elected only to do that, that's when I think it's a more worrying Americanized version of sheriffs and all that, which is they were originally called.
When the
idea was first mooted, they were going to be called sheriffs, and someone had the clever idea of saying, no, that's really dumb.
Yeah, and obviously in London, our mayor is the police and crime commissioner.
Exactly, and I think that's also true in Greater Manchester. Yes. I'm not sure which of the other big metro mayors also oversee the police. I don't know if that's true of Steve Rotherham, for example.
No, there is a Merseyside police and crime commissioner.
Right. I mean, there's all sorts of oddities in the Liverpool region where you have a Liverpool...
Scouser, send your letters to Emma.
Look, I spend a lot of time in Liverpool. My ex is from Liverpool. I love Liverpool. Love Liverpool. I'm not calling Scousers themselves or Liverpudlians, because there is a difference between Scousers and Liverpudlians. Or indeed Woolly Backs or any of the other flavour of people within the Liverpool region. But what I mean is you've got the Liverpool mayor and then you've got the Liverpool region metro mayor, and they're two different peoples and roles.
There's a mayor for the city of Liverpool.
And then there's a mayor for the wider region, which includes places on Merseyside, but not in Liverpool.
But there is a Merseyside police and crime commissioner as well. I should say, while we've been recording this, Labour have got some more councillors.
Yay!
We're now plus 116 with 719 total councillors. So there we go. Let me just go back to the Dems, because we sort of brushed past it. Yes, you're right that by Monday afternoon, this picture might look very, very different, Tuesday afternoon. But I don't think it's the kind of result that's going to get the Conservatives wobbling yet. Let's see when all the results come through. But so far, nothing dramatic has happened. On that front, I want to talk about Reform UK as well.
Yeah, who very nearly pushed the Tories into third place in Blackpool South.
Blackpool got
which
some
would have, I mean, 117 votes is the difference. So 60 votes gone the other way. Mm-hmm. And you would be having a very different Tory meltdown right now. And 60 votes ain't enough to stop you melting down, frankly.
I think that's a very fair point. Whatever I'm trying to say, oh, you know, maybe it's not total demolition job. You're absolutely right. If they'd come third in a seat that they'd held because Reform had overtaken them, meltdown.
Yeah.
As we speak, Reform UK have no councillors and no control, therefore no control of councils. But, for example, I saw the Sunderland results coming in because those lovely people know how to count very, very quickly.
I love Sunderland. The young people running with
love
their
it.
Electoral
they
boxes because they've got that tradition. I think it's so
they
sweet.
They love it. They obviously got pretty hefty bits of the vote there, shooting up in popularity, haven't quite got over the line yet.
Yeah, and that's sort of the story of Reform, isn't it? Generally, they're not there because they want to run an administration and do all the boring bits. They're there because they want to be electoral spoilers for largely for the Conservative Party.
Yes, largely for the Conservative Party, although as we've seen that, you know, slightly helps Labour as well. I mean, it wouldn't
well, that's what
them...
I mean by spoilers. Yeah, they come in, they take eat out of the Conservative vote, thus helping Labour come through.
It was such an enormous swing that it wouldn't have made it. If every Reform voter had voted for the Conservatives, it wouldn't have got them anywhere. It still wouldn't
and
have got near.
And that is worth being completely explicit about, because there's going to be an awful lot of, oh, you couldn't win without Reform, blah, blah, blah. And that's just not true.
It wouldn't have saved the Conservatives in Blackpool South. Green Party, they're sort of having a not bad time. They're plus 31 to a total of 68 councillors. That's sort of doubling their money. That's a pretty impressive move.
Yeah, Greens are interesting. They're sort of the modern Lib Dems in many ways, in that they do face in two different directions.
I'm trying
a lot
not
of
to
the
glower
time.
At you.
But it's true. I mean, you know, the Lib Dems famously would have one message locally and one message nationally.
Sure.
The Greens, in about 2015, made a conscious decision to stop being a single-issue party and become a basic catch-all for all the ultra-left-wing identitarian causes. And, you know, fair enough, that's their decision. I'm not a Green, so I couldn't have affected that. But I think it's a shame, and I'm actually writing my newsletter about this weekend, despite the fact that if you even mildly criticise the Greens, you get absolute...
Yeah,
it's almost as bad as when you say nasty things about the SNP on Twitter.
Well, as I said last week, my most difficult campaign encounters tended to involve the Greens.
Well, I think what's happened is that because of that pivot, an awful lot of the people who couldn't bear Labour without Corbyn have gone to the Greens. Mm-hmm. And those were the people who were very abusive online. Not all of them, by no stretch of the imagination, but a decent chunk of them are the people whose way of doing politics is to be rude to people even slightly to their right online.
Yes.
And when I say slightly to their right, that's, you know,
you.
Basically to the right of Mao Zedong.
Yeah, it's you.
Me, which is, you know, given that I'm not generally considered to be of the right.
No. You're not even considered to be of the Labour right.
No, absolutely not. But, you know, once you're that distant from them, everyone that isn't in their gang is on the right.
So it will be interesting, let's continue your comparison with the Lib Dems. There was obviously a thing a lot of times that people were very happy to vote Liberal Democrat locally. They liked the local councillor who worked hard, or they quite liked the Lib Dems generally, but didn't want to vote for them in an election because they thought it was a wasted vote.
Yeah. And I think the Greens are slightly getting over that barrier when it comes to local government.
Exactly, that's my point.
So they're getting more and more councillors because they're seen as able to get more and more councillors.
Right.
They struggle when they do go into administrations. We saw that very much in Brighton, where there really was quite a bad breakdown of services. There was a big, big strike that they handled very badly, which meant that there was rubbish everywhere. We've also seen what happened. We discussed it at length last week with the SNP and the Greens.
Yeah, the point I wanted to make, all everything you're saying is true, is that with the Lib Dems, people were happy to have a Green, a Lib Dem councillor who they thought was nice and worked hard, but they wouldn't vote for the Lib Dems in a general election because they thought, well, this person is never going to become the MP. It's a waste of a vote. And I think the Greens still suffer from that, apart from in Brighton Pavilion, maybe in Bristol.
Possibly in Bristol Central. I think Thangham Debonair probably does have a big fight on her hands there. And we shall see what happens with the council there.
So there you go. I've sort of, having reviled at your comparison, I've sort of added to it. So there you go.
There you go. See, I'm right. I'm always right.
Well, let's not get overexcited. I guess in amongst all this excitement, we should head north of the border to the dramas of the SNP.
Well, that's really annoying. There's not enough drama. They're not having a bloody contest.
You want more drama. Okay. Hamza Youssef obviously has gone.
Gone.
And he's going to be replaced by John Swinney, who's going to be the first minister, because Kate Forbes has decided she will not challenge him. He wants to be the first minister. He said he's not going to be an interim or a caretaker. So there we go.
He's going to do it to at least the 2026 elections.
He's going to take it to the 2026 election. That is, John Swinney's there. So he started the campaign, but Kate Forbes was the only other challenger, and that's not going to be. His presence doesn't actually fix the numbers problem that the SNP have.
No, he's an old, old hand. If Hamza Youssef was the continuity candidate, John Swinney is continuity plus. loads and loads of images of him with both Alex Salmond and Nicola Sturgeon, and sometimes with them together when they still talk to each other. So he's not a fresh start by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, he has led the SNP, hasn't he?
He's led the SNP before, but he has not been first minister.
Right.
And I think he... I think he gives them a certain sense of stability that they've been lacking. But how do I put this? Being stable in their current position is not necessarily electorally where they want to be.
Obviously, there's an interesting dynamic around Kate Forbes as well. Her faith and religious views always is a bit of a lightning rod for these things. It was when Hamza Youssef took the leadership, it essentially meant she's not going to do this job again. It sort of rather proves your point, and I'm loath to keep saying you're right, but when you were talking about the Greens and their sort of ideological purity, to some extent, Kate Forbes seems to suffer from that as well. On the left.
Kate Forbes has her own individual ideological purity, but serves in a party that is not ideologically pure. She stayed in the SNP throughout the years where they've done things that she wildly disagrees with in terms of her own religious convictions.
My point was really, she is, due to her faith, she's quite socially conservative.
She's very, small, very, very socially conservative.
We'll see.
But that's the point I'm making, is whereas the Greens would likely have forced out a Kate Forbes who was incredibly strong on the environment but believed all the things that she believes by now. Because,
just remind people of some of the things she believes.
She's anti-abortion.
Yep.
She said she would vote against gay marriage. She completely disagreed with her party over the Gender Recognition Act.
And that was sort of one of the lightning rods, wasn't it? The Gender Recognition Act was a very big row when that came up, and when she was thinking of replacing Nicola Sturgeon, as I recall.
Indeed. And she got 48% of the vote against Hamza Youssef's 52. So, I mean, the cursed ratio and all that.
Indeed.
But she came, there are a lot more people in the SNP who voted for her than you would think if you listened to their spokespeople on social issues. And that again is one of those interesting things that we discussed last week. Independence trumps everything. And that's why I think there's a difference with the Green Party, because the Green Party would kick you out for transgressions in a number of different areas, even if you were the world's most committed environmentalist. And I think the SNP, as long as you are committed to independence, all the other stuff is secondary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's going to be very interesting to watch. The rest of the results coming in are going to be very, very interesting to watch. Let's be honest, I think we know the direction of travel, but there'll be a few ups and downs, murmurings in London that Sadiq Khan is not having as easy a rise as we might have thought. We'll see.
Yeah, it looks like those polls were wildly, wildly optimistic in terms of Sadiq. He may or may not win, but he certainly isn't winning by somewhere between 14 and 25 points.
Call it now. It's 4:29 on Friday afternoon. Is Sadiq going to be the mayor of London when we next record this podcast?
God, I bloody hope so.
That's not what I asked.
Face having Susan Hall.
That's not what I asked.
I think he will scrape it, but I am more nervous than I thought I'd be this time yesterday.
I think he's going to win as well. Okay, well, we'll be back for our lovely Patreon subscribers Tuesday-ish. Tuesday afternoon, I would think, to get that all sorted, and be very interesting couple of results still to come in. Emma Bunnell, quickly remind people where they can keep up with you.
My newsletter is Hard Thinking on the Soft Left, and I'm on Twitter at @EmmaBunnell_.
I'm at Charlotte A. Henry across the socials. Please head over to theaddition.net for all my tech and media stuff, and you can sign up to my newsletter there or head directly to newsletter.theaddition.net. It's addition with an A double D. We should say, if you want that extra Patreon stuff, and you really should want that extra Patreon stuff, because we're really good.
We're really good.
Head over to...
And I'm always right.
Well, House of Comments podcast over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/House of Comments podcast. You can sign up there for a mere fiver a month. And because we're generous souls, we'll also give you access to our paid newsletters for that amount as well. So that's patreon.com/House of Comments podcast. We'd really love to have you there. We're going to be doing, as we hurtle towards a general election, lots more of this kind of extra stuff. So please do support us over there. We don't have Sky News supporting us. We don't have Rory Stewart and Alastair Campbell. So all those bits of
thank
support.
Thank God.
All those bits of support really do make a difference. And we will see you on Tuesday.